Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Capitol Hill is talking about some real money that we don't have these days. There's $838 billion to stimulate the economy passed by the Senate today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have a clear idea of what the differences are and hope to resolve them as soon as possible.
President Obama hopes to sign a final bill on Monday, getting the money moving again, the goal of financial industry help. Treasury Secretary and the Fed Chairman both rolled out a vastly expanded plan that would cost another $1.5 trillion, or could anyway.
The most important part of this plan is the effort to try to get toxic assets off the books of the banks. This plan will address that by creating a public-private partnership that will buy up these assets and move them into a kind of a bad bank. And basically, the details still have to be worked out. And what we're hearing from critics is the devil is in the details, so, you know, no one's really sold on this yet.
CBS's Anthony Mason there. The toxic real estate assets part of it is about one-third of the outline announced today, and the White House says more foreclosure help is coming.
President Obama promises to soon unveil a new housing strategy. He outlined a plan that would see banks avoid foreclosures involving homeowners willing to give up some equity once home prices recover.
Both sides are giving a little bit, but you avert the foreclosure. That's good not only for the homeowner, but it's good for the entire community.
Yet to be decided guidelines for banks and eligibility rules for homeowners facing possible foreclosure. But the president told a Florida audience many homeowners need direct relief. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
General Motors will be cutting another 10,000 salaried jobs.
I'm afraid that the bankruptcy specter looks a whole lot closer right now than it might have a month ago.
Auto industry analyst John McElroy, GM, says it's doing it to avoid bankruptcy, and of course because government restructuring deadlines are approaching. Wall Street today got the jitters.
Investors are very concerned about what's going to happen to the economy in the months and quarters ahead.
Hugh Johnson at Johnson Illington Advisors. The Dow fell 387 points. Nearly the Nasdaq was down almost 67. Oil prices tumbled to about $38 a barrel. In Israel, where Tzipi Livni election, Benjamin Netanyahu could still wind up leading the coalition government.
The Israeli right wing, which is very cautious about concessions to the Palestinians, actually has a majority in the Israeli parliament. So even if she forms a government, she's going to have right wing parties in the coalition that could tie her hands on the peace process.
CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Houston Astros shortstop Miguel Tejada has worked out a plea deal to avoid jail for not telling the feds the truth about steroids.
It just adds to the perception of a widespread steroids problem in baseball.
That's Dave Scheinman at the Washington Post. This is CBS News.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can put the animal back in your love life in Battle Creek, Michigan. It's a Valentine's Day promotion at the Binder Park Zoo. Zoorotica, an adults-only visit to the zoo, will take lovers behind the scenes to see how the giraffes do it, and the lions and the tigers, and yes, the gorillas too. Jenny Bartlett at the zoo.
We're going to talk about animal reproduction, the different animals here at Binder Park Zoo and their little quirks and different things that get them going to help them reproduce.
It's jungle love right in front of folks. The bad weather in Oklahoma, a twister on the ground there, announced the beginning of the new Tornado Alley season. Fortunately, no one was hurt, far as we know. In California, fresh snow in the San Bernardino Mountains closed a stretch of Highway 18 because of the risk of avalanches. There were avalanches on Monday that trapped a dozen cars. Snow slide in front of them, another behind them, and the eyes of people in 12 cars looking up the hill. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We kind of thought the barbarism of the new dark ages, that was all a thing of the past. In a San Francisco courtroom yesterday, the Obama administration endorsed the positions of the Bush administration on the state secret privilege, and I think that really sucks. Obama's willing to leave us in the dark on the grisly practice of extraordinary rendition and the torture that was administered on the other end of that jet flight. Later this hour, Glenn Greenwald will join us. He writes for Salon.com. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he's written a blistering critique of the Obama team, including Eric Holder, the new attorney general, for maintaining the same ugly position as Bush did before, telling a three-judge panel in San Francisco you can't even litigate this case because it'll expose state secrets. And it's a major setback for those who, like me, thought that Obama really would return us to constitutional rule in virtually every aspect of that term. So Glenn will join us a little bit later. We're standing by to connect with writer Trevor Paglen. We were talking about his first book that he co-authored with A.C. Thompson yesterday on the program. It's about rendition. It's called Torture Taxi. And he's got a new book out called Blank Spots on the Map, subtitled The Dark Geography of the Pentagon's Secret World. And we hope he'll join us here in a minute, and we'll tell you more about that. Next hour, we're expecting to talk with Democratic Congressman Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania. in between floor votes on the House floor, and he is a supporter of the stimulus package. It did pass with 3 Republican votes in the United States Senate today, and it faces now an uncertain process in the conference committee because, well, we don't know exactly how that's going to work and who the winners and losers will be. So we'll talk with the congressman about that next hour. Jason Leopold from the Public Record will be with us. He broke the story on Monday about Senator Pat Leahy's call for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission into the wrongdoing of the Bush administration. And if that's all we can get, I'll probably accept that. But I'd like full accountability with criminal penalties for those who broke the law. And once again, in the news conference Monday night, Obama was sounding that same theme that, he prefers to look forward as opposed to looking back. And Leon Panetta embarrassed himself and, frankly, me when he retracted comments on Friday that he had made just on Thursday before the Senate panel reviewing his nomination and approaching his confirmation. And it's amazing to me that Panetta backed off and said, well, yeah, I guess I don't really know if people were shipped out of the country and tortured. Well, Exhibit A would be the book Torture Taxi. There are many other issues that are on the record. And people are still following this. It's really interesting. I got an email after the program yesterday from a loyal listener, Gary. And perhaps I misspoke, perhaps he misunderstood a little bit. What I said was that there is information about these rendition flights that are on the public record. We know that Maher Arar was rendered to Syria. And they picked him up at JFK Airport in New York. So that's one of my examples. But what Gary sent along was that he said the planes are still flying. And he names a tail number. N88ZL did a flight on February 6th, and the flight plan said it was San Francisco to Phoenix. And Gary also sent along an attachment, which is a report, let me find it here on my cluttered desktop, from a group in the United Kingdom about Scotland's complicity in extraordinary rendition. The Scottish Air Base reportedly has been used for refueling of these flights, and this organization called Reprieve has compiled evidence showing that Glasgow's Prestwick Airport functioned as a crucial staging point in renditions where planes stopped to refuel en route from and to the United States and to some of these destinations where torture was likely the result of this little trip. And the court case in San Francisco is before the appeals panel on the central issues of whether the plaintiffs can bring this suit at all. And we'll talk more with Glenn Greenwald about this. But the judges on the panel were openly asking the attorneys from the Justice Department to tell them that the new Obama Justice Department has a different position. Here's Judge Mary Schroeder. She's been on the court for a long time. She was appointed by Jimmy Carter. She asked the lawyer for the government, Douglas Letter, who had made the same state secrets argument in the past. The judge said, is there anything material that has happened that might have caused the Justice Department to shift its views? No, Your Honor, says Mr. Letter. Schroeder asked again, the change in administration has no bearing? Once more, no, Your Honor. The position he was taking on behalf of the government, he said, has been thoroughly vetted with the appropriate officials within the new administration, and these are the authorized positions. So this is remarkable for the lack of any nuance, change, or difference, or even a, wait a minute, we want to think about this, can we come back in 30 days? There is no daylight between the ugly position taken by the Bush administration and this position, equally ugly, taken by the new Obama administration. So I find this very disappointing, and the only thing that amplifies it further is that nobody in the press corps bothered to ask Obama about this at the news conference last night. Plenty of questions on the economy, some good foreign policy questions. A-Rod came up and steroids. But nothing about this. And I find that deeply, deeply disappointing. So right now Nick is trying to track down Trevor Paglen. He is the co-author of the book Torture Taxi, and he later published a book called I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me. And that was a fascinating book that actually had examples of the different service patches that are issued to people who serve in clandestine parts of our military or clandestine parts of our spook community. And his new book is called Blank Spots, The Dark Geography of the Pentagon's Secret World. And it is a fascinating look at places that are not on the map. Now, you may recently have seen, it was Keith Olbermann who showed us that the Google map has been restored. The Google map of the Vice President's residence at the Naval Observatory Complex in Washington, D.C. During Dick Cheney's residence there, it was fuzzed out, kind of like the private parts, you know, in a nudie picture that they show on television. Pixelated is what we call it, technically. And what Trevor has done in this book is taken a look at some of the fascinating places in the military universe that are not officially on the map. And I learned some new things here. For example, the NRO is a major part of our spy community. It's the National Reconnaissance Office. I'd vaguely heard about it before, but he goes into some depth about what they do, and as a geographer, he has a strong interest in that. And as a guy who has followed the work of the rendition teams for the CIA since Bush took office, he's come up with some very interesting places that are best traveled to by reading a book rather than showing up there. And one of the things I found interesting that I had not known before is what's called a sterile identity. For example, he was able to track down some of the pilots of the CIA rendition planes, like N-313P. One of them's name was James Faring, and the other guy's name is Eric Matthew Fain. And these are people who don't exist. They all live in the same post office box in Chantilly, Virginia. A sterile identity is a fake identity operatives use on covert actions. James Faring, for example, holds an American passport supplied by the State Department, a pilot's license, maybe even an international driver's license. And with those documents, he passes through customs at foreign airports, checks into hotels, establishes his identity overseas. But if a border guard or hotel desk clerk were to attempt to verify this sterile identity, they would discover that he has no credit history, no bank loans, has never owned a car, lacks an employment history. In other words, Faring has none of the qualities that, in the information age, establish one's existence in the ordinary geography of our country. The P.O. Box in Chantilly, Virginia, is part of the covert architecture that conceals him. These days, having a sterile identity might be a handy thing. We're going to take a break, see if we can track down Trevor Paglen, and we'll continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, and my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Thanks for listening.
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
The Peter B. Collins Show.
And the desert oak, holding wrecks and violent dissolves, steam and body vibrates.
The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share.
I'll apply this song to Guantanamo Bay.
The time has come.
Let's give it back to Cuba. It belongs to them. Let's give it back. Three minutes after the hour, some hour, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And when you do a live radio program, we're used to it. Sometimes schedules conflict or people forget or BlackBerry crashes. I'm just a little concerned that Trevor Paglen didn't make the interview today and hope he's not on a free one-way flight to Syria, courtesy of our CIA. Again, I want to recommend his new book called Blank Spots, The Dark Geography of the Pentagon's Secret World. Blank Spots on the Map is the full title. And as I told you before the break, Trevor Paglen's a fascinating guy. He's a geographer who has looked into the rendition issues, co-authored the book Torture Taxi. And together with plane spotters from all over the world, they were able to compile information on certain jets that were controlled by this San Jose firm that's owned by Boeing. They're called Jeppesen Aviation. And Jeppesen's the travel agent, the pleasant Hawaiian holidays for the CIA's rendition program. And the plaintiffs in this case, as we learned yesterday from one of the lawyers, have a witness who used to work at Jeppesen who says, oh, yeah, they said we handle the torture flights. And yet the government claims that's all secret, and Obama is doubling down on the bad legal position of the Bush administration. We'll talk more about that with Glenn Greenwald in the next segment. And I've just learned that next hour we're expecting two members of Congress, Joe Sestak from Pennsylvania and Jackie Speier from California, both Democrats, to talk about the stimulus effort. But Paglen takes an interesting look in his book at the campuses in the suburbs inside the Beltway, but outside Washington, D.C. He refers to the National Security Agency. And if you saw the powerful Nova documentary that was produced and written by our friend James Bamford last week, you know that four of the alleged 9/11 hijackers traveled to suburban Maryland and stayed in a cheap motel just a couple of miles from the big National Security Agency campus. That's really sticking it in the eye of the beast. Just across the river on the Virginia side is the CIA, whose name remains synonymous with the Langley suburb surrounding it. Further south, the Pentagon has the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. On the Maryland bank of the Potomac is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. I never even heard of that one. Anyway, it's fascinating to look at this community and the way they hide things from us in plain sight. Trevor Paglen in this new book goes into some detail about the black budgets and actually downloaded the Pentagon budget and was able to figure out, and I don't have the page open right in front of me here, but I think it's about $37 billion that was in the 2007 so-called black budget. And they have various ways of hiding these expenditures and spending items in the budget. And he also goes back in history. The first effort to create these black budgets were some secret actions that occurred during World War I. And that's where the first black budget was set up. But things really took off in May of 1948, is when the National Security Act was passed. It created the CIA and some of the other agencies that we referenced earlier. And originally, they had to ensure that the CIA was just going to collect information. Let's see if I can find it here. It says it directed that covert operations had to be so planned and executed that any U.S. government responsibility for them is not evident, and that if uncovered, the U.S. government can plausibly disclaim any responsibility for them. That is the plausible deniability phrase that they have used for years. For example, Bush tried to use it on torture. And he had his fingers all crossed and his toes, too, when he said that stuff. But by redefining torture, he could say, we don't torture, and have plausible deniability. At least that's what he thought. So we will reschedule with Trevor because he's a very interesting man. This is a fascinating book. And presuming that he has not been renditioned, we'll get him back on the program soon. We'll move to a break now. And Glenn Greenwald joins us on the other side to comment on the Obama administration's first big failure here, a failure to change the policies regarding the state secret privilege, particularly as it applies to rendition victims. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the tab that says You Can Help.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. So it's true, as Sports Illustrated has reported, that baseball's biggest star, Alex Rodriguez, did test positive for banned substances back in 2003. And he's now come out and admitted this in an interview with ESPN.
I did take a banned substance, and, for that, I'm very sorry.
Since then, he's never tested positive, and that's because he doesn't do it anymore, says A-Rod.
Since then, I've proved to myself and to everyone that I don't need any of that.
But what made him think he needed it then? His explanation after this.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Come to Jared and experience the legend of Levion.
That's Jared!
The design and craftsmanship of Levion jewelry, including the delicious new trend, Levion chocolate diamonds and Levion chocolate cultured South Sea pearls, must be seen to be appreciated. One visit to Jared the Galleria of Jewelry is all it takes to understand why Levion has devoted collectors the world over.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Alex Rodriguez, now the Yankees' third baseman, was playing for the Texas Rangers between 2001 and 2003.
Back then, it was a different culture. It was very loose. I was young. I was stupid. I was naive. And I wanted to prove to everyone that, I was worth, and being one of the greatest players of all time.
As recently as 2007 on 60 Minutes, Katie Couric asked A-Rod,
"For the record, have you ever used steroids, human growth hormone, or any other performance-enhancing substance?"
"No."
"Have you ever been tempted to use any of those things?"
"No."
It's not a federal offense to lie to 60 Minutes, and he's been more careful with people he can't lie to. But what can he do now? Danny Nobler of CBSSports.com.
The only thing he can do is play very well. That's all he can do. But it doesn't matter. Forever, his name is going to be linked with steroids, just like these other guys are, and that's not going to change, and he couldn't change that today.
He knows that and regrets it more than he can say.
I don't have millions of fans out there that are, whenever look at me the same.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
I remember way back last summer when presidential candidate and Senator Barack Obama threw us under the bus, said, well, I'm going to vote for this FISA so-called reform because we got to take this off the table for the fall campaign. Well, that kind of constitutional rule is still off the table, I'm sad to say, and we saw it exhibited in sharp relief in the chambers, the courtroom of the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco on Monday. To comment on this, we turn to Glenn Greenwald, a constitutional law and civil rights litigator, used to be in New York. He writes for Salon.com and hosts radio programs there, and most recently is the author of Great American Hypocrites. Glenn, welcome back to our program today.
Great to be back. Thanks.
This is a very disappointing situation, and we got the first report late yesterday from one of the attorneys from the Brennan Center who had been at the hearing. And what's really remarkable here is that the attorney for the government, Doug Letter, asserted in response to repeated questions from judges on this panel that his position, which was the same position he presented in the past to this court, has not changed just because we have a new administration. And he didn't try to buy time. He didn't say, well, Eric Holder's only been on the job for a week, and gosh, can we get back to you after he's had a chance to review it? No, he said that it's been reviewed in depth. And this is, it has been thoroughly vetted with the appropriate officials within the new administration, and that these are the authorized positions. What does this tell us, Glenn?
What's most amazing about that series of events that you just described is that the state secret privilege, as asserted by the Bush administration in this case, is the very sweeping, wildly broad version of this privilege that basically says that the president has the right to prevent entire litigations from proceeding before anything even occurs, not by claiming that there's a certain document here or a specific fact there that's secret, not to be kept secret, but instead by claiming that just to adjudicate any part of this claim at all would be to risk the disclosure of national security state secrets. And what's so amazing about the Obama administration's embrace of this theory is that Democrats generally, and Obama and Biden specifically, have spent the last 2 years excoriating the Bush administration for using this version of the state secret privilege. And Democrats in the Senate even introduced legislation to prohibit it, to outlaw it, and to severely restrict it. And one of the 12 co-sponsors of that legislation was Joe Biden, and Obama said that he supports it. So it's a complete betrayal. They're not just taking the wrong position. They're completely reversing what they claimed they believed during the time that they were actually running for the office rather than occupying it.
Yeah. And it has so many different implications because, as you pointed out, this is so sweeping that it suggests that they will try to hold the dam on all the other assertions of state secrets that Bush and his team made. And many of these are so questionable because they're clearly intending to use this the way Nixon tried to use the CIA against the FBI to cover up the Watergate case. This is to prevent embarrassments, not to protect national security.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if you look at the specific facts in this case, it involves five individuals who were abducted by the CIA from various countries and then, quote-unquote, rendered to other nations, such as Morocco, Egypt, Syria, Afghanistan, where they were brutally tortured by other countries, by the United States, and then shipped off to Guantanamo. And the defendant in the case, the company that's being sued by the five plaintiffs, is a subsidiary of Boeing that has basically been the travel agent of the CIA's rendition program. They provide the planes, they map the routes, they file fake flight plans with air traffic controllers to throw everybody off in terms of what's happening. And the claim that there's something secretive about this case and that national security will be harmed if it's adjudicated, the reason it's so frivolous here is because all of the facts are already known. We know exactly what this company's involvement was. There's been books written by it, magazine articles. Other nations have investigated and even litigated it and awarded certain of these plaintiffs damages for these other countries' secondary participation in this program. It's all completely public, what was done. And in fact, certain employees of this company, Jeppesen, actually quit because they knew that what this company was doing was illegal and publicized what was taking place. So aside from how sweeping and dangerous the theory of this privilege is that Obama is embracing, in this specific case, it's completely frivolous to claim that there's any national security secrets at all since everything is already fully public.
A little story. My mother, who's 85 now, worked at the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner to the CIA. And she was there in 1947 and 1948. And she won't talk about whatever she did in any detail, but she has told me one story. She said, well, I was on the Middle East desk, and so my job was to get the newspapers that were brought in each day, read the articles, clip them, and then stamp them either secret or top secret. And I said, well, Mom, wait a minute. Those are newspapers. She said, yeah, that's how ridiculous it was. I was taking public information and pretending that by putting a stamp on it, that it was somehow secret in the OSS. And that's what this reminds me of, because you cannot put this toothpaste back in the tube or any other hackneyed metaphor that you want to use. And yet they are trying to pretend that by asserting that this material is secret, that they can block legal action, and that we're all supposed to sit here and pretend that we don't know what they claim is secret.
Yeah, I mean, it's exact. And think about what we're really doing. I mean, there was another case, a rendition case, of a Canadian citizen, Imahar Arar,
right,
who was abducted at JFK Airport in 2002.
And Glenn, excuse me, I just want to thank you for the language you use, because abduction and kidnapping is what rendition is.
Well, and it's what it is. It's not a slanted term. I mean, they literally, without any legal right whatsoever, put on black hoods and wear black clothing, and they go and find the person in another country where they have no jurisdiction, and they abduct them.
Mm-hmm.
And they take them against their will without any court saying that it's okay to another country. I mean, it's kidnapping and abduction in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this case with the Canadian citizen, they sent him to Syria for 10 months where he was brutally tortured as they knew what happened, and then it turned out that they had the wrong guy. It was just mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian government fully disclosed all of the facts in a comprehensive report and paid the guy $2.5 million. All the facts are right in public because the Canadian government published an investigation. And yet when he went to the U.S. courts to sue the U.S. government for what was done to him, the Bush administration claimed that everything was too secret to allow the courts to adjudicate it, and the courts agreed and threw his case out. And so it's a joke that we're claiming that it's too secret. Everywhere in the world this case is discussed except U.S. courts. But what we're really doing is the Obama administration is saying, here are these victims of torture victimized at the hands of the U.S. government, and we are going to close our court system off to them or anybody else who wants to obtain a ruling as to whether or not what the government did constituted war crimes and broke the law. And,
mm-hmm.
and the entire world can see what we're doing, this frivolous claim of secrecy. It's only in this country that we accept these sorts of things.
Well, and one other case that is so glaring, and the facts are well known, is Khalid El-Masri. And he had a name, a surname, that is identical to that of an alleged Al-Qaeda operative who found his way into Iraq. Apparently he was working with al-Zarqawi, or maybe he succeeded him. In any event, Al-Masri was a German who was picked up in Albania, I believe. And we took him to Bagram in Afghanistan, which has not closed and is not a part of any of the executive orders that Obama issued with a flourish on his second day in office. And the Al-Masri case is again well documented. He was tortured, and finally, in the fall of 2005, I remember Secretary Condoleezza Rice making a tour of Europe to publicly state at each stop that we don't torture. And at each stop, somebody would pop up. And in Germany, it was Al-Masri. And in Italy, it was the case of the sheikh who was grabbed in Milan and rendered to Egypt. And so, you know, that was in some ways a kind of twisted comedy act. And now we see the Obama administration doubling down and backing that up when there's no conceivable gain for them in protecting the wrongdoing that occurred before they took office.
Well, and of course the question then becomes, well, what is their motive? And you're right, that the case of Al-Masri was another case where both the U.S. government and the German government jointly admitted that that was an innocent person that we had kidnapped and tortured. And yet, again, we closed our courts to him as well. They they moved on the grounds of state secret to dismiss the case, and the courts submitted to that demand, as courts typically do, and he too was precluded from obtaining any justice in our court system, notwithstanding the fact that we were responsible for his torture for 10 months. But what you see here is the Obama administration is essentially adopting a theory that if they prevail on this case and they convince this court that this theory that the Bush administration invented is in fact the right one, which is what they're now arguing, it would mean that the Obama administration would have the same power. That is, the same power to, even if what they did is allegedly illegal or war crimes, they would be able to prevent courts in America from adjudicating what was done, from investigating their conduct, and from giving victims any form of justice. In other words, they're placing themselves above and beyond the rule of law, just like the Bush administration did. And that's clearly one of the motives. And the other motive is they obviously don't want any kind of stirring on the part of the population or Democrats or anyone else for prosecutions against Bush officials for breaking the law. And here's a case where it would be very likely, if it proceeded, that what the Bush administration did and just how patently criminal it was would all come out in the open. And I think the Obama administration wants to keep it concealed because that way they feel like they can minimize the pressure that will be exerted on them to do the right thing, which is to treat, you know, our high political officials like any other ordinary American. If you break the law, you get investigated and then prosecuted.
Well, and Glenn, we need to talk about the bizarre testimony of Leon Panetta, a man who I've known for 25 years and have great respect for. I was encouraged that he was the outsider selected to take over at the CIA, a man who has publicly renounced torture and rendition. And there he was, scrambling to try to get confirmed and taking these incoming hits from Kit Bond, the senator from Missouri, forcing him to, and he didn't have to submit, but he chose to, recant or withdraw a statement that he had made the day before based on news accounts and the public record. And here Bond insulted bloggers and left-wing media for portraying rendition and torture as fact, and Panetta went along with it. I mean, I just cringed when I saw that exchange.
Well, it's interesting. You saw some Obama other nominees doing the same thing. I mean, Eric Holder, during his confirmation hearing to be Attorney General, was very firm the first day when they were asking him whether he would prosecute Bush officials who broke the law. He would say the right thing. He would say, I'm not going to prejudge that. I'm going to get into office, and I'll look at the allegations and treat it like any other case. And if there's lawbreaking, nobody's above the law, and I'll make the decision then. And before you know it, you know, the Republicans announced that they would hold up his nomination unless he confirmed that he refused, that he would agree not to prosecute. And Kit Bond claimed that in private, Holder gave him those assurances. That's something Holder later on denied. But something happened, and the Republicans agreed to get on board. And you're right, the same thing happened with Leon Panetta. I mean, these were not trick questions. These were not obscure issues. I mean, both Holder and Panetta were obviously prepared to answer questions in Holder's case about prosecutions and Panetta's case about rendition and torture. And yet they got bullied in, you know, less than 24 hours by the Republicans, who are a small minority in the Senate, into abandoning principled positions. And, you know, if they're willing to do that in public with very little pressure and very little leverage exerted against them, it really makes you wonder, once they're in office, how firm they're going to adhere to their previous statements. And what Obama did yesterday in court by abandoning his previous positions and embracing one of the most radical Bush weapons really gives great cause for concern and even among those of us who were, you know, in a wait-and-see mode and willing to give Obama some time before forming conclusions, there's no conclusion that you can form other than the fact that, you know, all of this talk over the last 24 months from Obama about restoring the rule of law and our constitutional framework seemed to be nothing more than, you know, illusory campaign pledges that he's abandoning as fast as he can.
Well, and Glenn, Kit Bond speaks publicly the way I think that Dianne Feinstein and Jay Rockefeller, key members of the Intelligence Committee, think privately but are afraid to say. Let's take a break and we'll continue with Glenn. If you have a comment, join me and we'll talk right after the break. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum, on duty, taking your calls today.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000. Or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com, and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. In the next half hour, we expect to talk with two Democrats in Congress about the stimulus effort. It did pass the Senate today. Joe Sestak from Pennsylvania, Jackie Speier from California. We're talking with Glenn Greenwald from Salon.com. He's offered a lot of great commentary on our Constitution and the Obama administration's, their actions don't really match their campaign rhetoric. Here's Steve in Salinas. Thanks for calling. Steve, you're on the air.
When I was watching that press conference the other night, the one answer that really bugged me was about holding those folks accountable. He just gave the wimpiest answer. So, well, if we know that they've done something wrong, then nobody's above the law. And we know they lied us into a war. They knew that, we know they spied on us illegally. We know they've been torturing people. So there's nothing there. And I'm just wondering if because of all the spying that the Bushies did a long time ago, maybe they've got something on them.
Well, you know, people have raised that, too, about Nancy Pelosi. Glenn, do you have any sense that the, you know, domestic wiretapping program or any of these other efforts have compromised Democrats?
I mean, anything's possible, but, I think in order to engage in that kind of mass systematic blackmail, it'd be very difficult to do it without somebody blowing the whistle. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I understand the temptation to think that, but I think more than anything, that's a way of trying to understand why Democrats are so submissive and so complicit. At the end of the day, I think it's just almost a way of making excuses. Well, they'd like to stand up to the Bush administration. They'd like to prosecute, but unfortunately, you know, they're being blacked out. I think that's too generous. I think, you know, if you're a Speaker of the House or the President of the United States or all these other high political officials, you find a way to do the things that you need to do, even if you're being subjected to that kind of behavior. So I find that not very plausible. I think it's a little too generous.
Here's Jackie in Watsonville. Go ahead, Jackie. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, I just told your screener I feel like I've been dealt a blow to my solar plexus. I'm not quite sure where that is. It's somewhere in my middle section, you know. No, really. You know, I've seen the politics for so many years, you know. In the first place, I didn't vote for him in the primary, okay? I voted for her. Mm-hmm. I would have voted for Edwards had he stayed in and kept his, you know,
zipper,
kept himself clean and everything, yeah, and away from women, but you know, he's too, I think Mr. Obama is way too conciliatory, but what bothers me about this so much is the fact that he's caving in so early. I mean, my God, this is the beginning of the first 4 years.
Well, and he's extending his hand and he's getting a fist back, to use his inauguration speech language.
Right.
And even last night in the news conference, he's saying that he's patient and optimistic, that people are going to respond to this. Yet it's just very clear,
you know,
that the Republicans are organizing against him in the same way they did against Clinton.
You know something, Peter? I tried to talk about this a lot. I've been on the radio a lot now, and I've tried to talk about this on the radio. The Democrats are so clueless, for God's sake. They don't play a good game of poker, okay? That's one of the reasons why...
And Jackie, just to add to that, as a minority party, the Republicans are playing the game extremely well right now.
But they always do.
They're setting the agenda. They're dominating it. They're cherry-picking the weakest elements of the Democratic package. Glenn, it is kind of remarkable, isn't it?
No, I think the caller's right. It's par for the course. I mean, go look at what the Democrats did when they were in the minority. And tell me if you can find a time when they ever filibustered a major piece of legislation, mm-hmm, or made the sort of scandals out of what the Republicans wanted to do, the way that the Republicans have succeeded so completely, not just in this case, but, you know, over the last 2 years. And the Republicans have basically convinced the media that it is now a standard rule in the Senate that you need 60 votes in order to pass a bill. What the Republicans are really doing is filibustering every single piece of legislation and not having to pay a price for it, because Harry Reid doesn't make them stand on the floor and read from the phone book or speak for, mm-hmm, you know, 24 to 48 hours so the American people can see how obstructionist they're being. I think the Democrats like the Republicans filibustering so that they can offer that as an excuse. Well, we had to compromise because it was the only way to get 60 votes. But it's hard to think of a party more ineffectual than the Democrats, whether they're in the minority or the majority. It makes no difference.
Well, and I would much rather see Obama slugging it out with the Republicans and setting a new tone of who the new alpha dog is than inviting them over for drinks and saying, oh, yeah, we'll get that family planning out of there. Sorry, we're really sorry about that.
Well, you know, they're going against the women on this too, you know. I mean, I heard another show and I thought, oh my God almighty, you know, what is this? What's going on? I want him to run the kind of presidency that he ran in his campaign. That's what I want him to do.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Sure.
Appreciate it. So, Glenn, how should we respond? What should we be doing to register our deep objections to this move in San Francisco on Monday?
Well, as you pointed out, the parallel for what he just did here was the reversal on FISA, which actually had a little more justification even, because at least there he could claim that he was doing it to win the election. That excuse doesn't exist at this point. And what people did who were extremely angry about that betrayal was they went on to, you know, mybarackobama.com, and deluged the campaign with all sorts of angry complaints, phoned and threatened to cut off funding. A lot of people did stop donating for several months at a time. And, you know, the Obama campaign does rely upon its grassroots popularity in order to derive their power. And if enough Obama supporters make clear that they don't just disagree with this, but find this an absolute betrayal, you know, I think that that kind of a message can be heard.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, I really appreciate your thoughtful comments, and I saw you last week with Rachel Maddow. You did a great job there. Keep it up, will you?
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Peter.
Okay, Glenn Greenwald here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Share a podcast with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another hurdle cleared.
The Senate passes the stimulus bill. Now negotiations begin with the House. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
The new plan for troubled banks is unveiled.
This plan is fundamentally different in broad objectives and direction.
But lack of specifics sends the stock market lower. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
The ayes are 61. The nays are 37. H.R. 1 as amended passes.
As the Senate passed its version of the $800 billion stimulus bill, attention turned immediately to the next step, a conference with the House to work out differences.
We expect to have something done within the next 24 hours that will at least head us in the right direction.
Senate Leader Harry Reid says President Obama wants it done fast. As expected, only 3 Republicans voted for the bill in the Senate, the others led by Mitch McConnell saying no.
We're taking an enormous risk. An enormous risk with other people's money.
What's the alternative of not passing this bill? The alternative is conditions much worse. Much worse.
Montana Senator Max Baucus on the winning side. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House.
That's good news.
The Senate vote came as the president worked a crowd in Fort Myers, Florida.
That's good news.
Even as he hailed the vote, the president reminded the town hall audience that the House and Senate bills must, as he put it, match up before it can arrive on his desk. He hopes that that will happen by the end of the week, but there are tough negotiations ahead.
Talks between House and Senate leaders open this afternoon. Now this.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road. A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner made his much-anticipated announcement today. He said that working with the Fed, the Treasury Department will fundamentally reshape the bank bailout program.
What we're going to be guided by is what is going to work, and as I said, what is going to engender more confidence, and what's going to help get credit flowing again to the parts of the economy that need it most.
They will back this pledge by putting up as much as $1 trillion to prime the pumps of the credit system. The other part of the strategy envisions a partnership between government and private investors to buy up to $1 trillion worth of bad assets on the bank's balance sheets. Wall Street was troubled by the lack of specifics. The Dow dropped 382 points to close at 7888, its biggest drop since the 1st of December and its lowest close since November. The S&P 500 fell nearly 5%, and the Nasdaq shed 66 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the losses reflect investor disappointment.
The plan was really more like another proposal instead of a roadmap, which is what Wall Street was expecting. It's one thing to say we're going to Chicago tomorrow. It's another thing to say just how we're going to get there. We didn't get that from Timothy Geithner. These are uncharted waters, and there is still a feeling that the White House is making it up as it goes along, and I think Wall Street was hoping for more than that today.
President Obama, in an interview taped for ABC's Nightline, said Wall Street is hoping for an easy out on this thing, and there is no easy way out. More Americans are headed for the unemployment office. Walmart is cutting at least 700 jobs at its Arkansas headquarters. Nike says it could eliminate as many as 1,400 positions. Peanut Corporation of America, whose Georgia plant was the source of the salmonella outbreak, has suspended operations at another plant in Plainview, Texas. For nearly 4 years, that plant had been operating without a license. The result of today's Israeli election is uncertainty, CBS News correspondent Robert Berger reports.
Supporters of Israel's dovish foreign minister Tzipi Livni celebrated as TV exit polls gave her a narrow victory over her nationalist rival Benjamin Netanyahu. But celebrations could be premature. Livni may not be able to form a government because the hawkish right wing holds a majority in parliament. Netanyahu vows that he will form the next government. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, a smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. A little later this hour, we're expecting to hear from California Congresswoman Jackie Speier. And Jason Leopold will join us, too, to talk about Senator Leahy's call for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Joining me now is Democratic Congressman from near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Democrat Joe Sestak, a retired Navy Vice Admiral, just starting his second term in the House. Congressman, welcome back to our program today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me again, Peter.
Well, thank you for taking the time. And, Congressman, I know that a vote may have been called, so if you need to tend to the people's business, you just let me know, and we will certainly release you.
Absolutely. I'll let you know when I need it apart, but I think we've got a good, solid, at least 10 minutes here.
Real good.
15.
So, first up, my listeners are very concerned about the president's approach to the Republicans. After all, we've coughed up some $80 billion in generally meaningless tax cuts to mollify qualify Republicans, gotten zero votes in the House and three very needed votes in the Senate. What's your calculation here on how we can really focus on the issues that will stimulate the economy and create the most jobs and not simply pander to political opponents?
You know, you've got a good point in the sense that when the House passed the bill, we had about, it wasn't an A+, but it was definitely at least an A- bill. We knew that it would keep us at about a little over 9% by the end of December. Now, the bill we're getting back is at best a B. That said, and I've taken, and I have to be quite upfront about this, by Mr. Obama's intent and effort to reach across. And here's why. Strategically, we're going to have to deal with a number of issues from health care that covers everybody to making sure that this withdrawal from Iraq is done in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe that his effort to do so is going to stand him well with Americans. Because his bully puppet is the most powerful tool that we have. Look, Mr. Reagan had the bully puppet. He talked, and he was good. But he tended to have say, look, I'm going to cut taxes and build up the military. Well, you know, right now this is a gentleman who's going to have to give us a bully puppet and get us through some pretty challenging times where eventually, after we get through this recession, he's going to have to look at raising taxes on the more well-to-do who have it well done. So I actually have to tell you, Peter, it's a less good bill.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's what we need and we can get it through in a timely name, I buy off on it. That said, I'm hoping that of the $75 billion they took out on state aid, on education construction of the schools, and on income, so that we know that food stamps give $1.75 for every dollar we give out there in increase in GDP, while these AMT taxes they give to the more well-to-do have almost zilch impact, and any other tax has at most 50 cents on the dollar. Well, I'll buy it if mm-hmm. If that's what it takes to get through on this one, because we need this through for the good of us, and I think it's going to bode them well on the longer term.
Now, you mentioned the AMT. That's a piece that could pass with a resolution for Flag Day.
Yes, and it has every year.
And it doesn't need to be in this stimulus package, but it is, so I'll accept that. But let me offer you a view here from sunny California, where we're being held hostage by the most extreme radical Republicans, and they are loyal not to their actor Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, but to Grover Norquist, and they are taking us over the cliff. We're out of cash. We've stopped paying our bills. You can't get your tax refund anytime soon. Construction projects have been grinding to a halt. This is not a game anymore, Joe. And the Republicans are playing a winner-take-all approach.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see postpartisanship and bipartisanship. It's a nice thing, and it feels good when it happens. But they're out there with knives, and we're responding with an open hand.
Let me make sure I should have added one thing in. And I said this I was on Fox the other day.
Oh, good
for
you.
And I said, look, bipartisanship does not mean that that's the end all and be all. You cannot, in the goodness of bipartisanship, accept a failed policy. And this one we're getting in, we know that the difference is going to be by the end of 2010, instead of salvaging 2.9 million jobs, it's going to be 2.3. Well, when they're in conference, I think we'll get it up to 2.5, 2.6. So I still feel in this way that he didn't do a fair policy. He didn't accept it. But, you know, you look at it right now, and this is a man that's going to come through this thing having extended the hand, and a couple of the fingers were bit. But that hand that was extended, I honestly think it didn't send us over the cliff. Now, I am going to see, here's my real concern, I don't think this bill was enough,
mm-hmm.
even on the House side. I mean, I would support very strongly a larger bill. And so my take on it is his continuing credibility, because he's going to have to come back on this, because you saw that bill today, or the outline of what the Secretary of the Treasury is outlining, that could be $1 to $1.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm a big proponent. A large proponent that if we don't spend this money as the U.S. only safe haven that's left in the United States that people are putting their money in, and we can borrow this money at a roll rate, we'll be exponentially worse if we wait and do very little. So my take is I liked his effort at bipartisanship. He kept us from going off the cliff. It's not as good a bill. We'll get it back up to a B+, I think, in conference. Neither side had an immaculate conception. There were some things I wish we hadn't had in there that the other side used against us, but I think it keeps them strong for the next day.
Congressman Joe Sestak, Democrat from Pennsylvania, with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, you mentioned Secretary Geithner, and he has unveiled parts of his bank rescue plan. I ultimately think, Joe, that nationalization will be required for the most troubled banks, but clearly that's not a step that they're ready to take to date. I also feel that everything I've read about this is Geithner prevailing over other voices in the inner circle of the Obama administration to limit restrictions on executive pay. And it really strikes me that he is continuing the less regulation, self-regulation ideas of the failed past. And I really want to see the bank system relaunched, rebooted, rebuilt. And we need to move very quickly to rescue the consumers who are on the other ends of those trouble loans.
Yes. Here's, and I'm going to be upfront, I haven't been through all the particulars of it. I listened to about half of it, had to rush over to a meeting. I've got the printed transcript, which I'll finish this evening. All that said, we need a new referee, a new set of regulations that have to be placed upon how we do this money and how we continue with derivatives and all that in the future. But the most important part of what he was speaking about is what needs to be done. We need to soak up. We need to get off the books those distressed mortgage securities that no one knows how to value. And until we begin to purchase them to give clarity to the price so that private investment is attracted to them, then we won't be able to, I believe, get the boost to the economy we need. Because, Peter, this economic stimulus bill is a misnomer. And I'm going to be the first. I've said it everywhere I've been. It's meant to salvage jobs, to stop the hemorrhage of jobs, more than get us going. Because it's not the 2010 and beyond that you really get the real boost out of even shovel-ready infrastructure. In the meantime, if we get this credit going again, then that's when the economy gets going. Because that day in September, when Congress, when the House failed on its first effort to pass the what was called the bailout bill, the markets tumbled. And when they tumbled, Mr. Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, panicked and said every dollar he was going to get was going to be put into equity because the $1 you have to keep in the bank for $10 of loan had dropped to 50 cents. And he needed to get it back up to a dollar, he felt, so they didn't pull in $5 of the $10 of loans out there. But he panicked and did it woefully, all of it. And the failure to do what was the initial intent, and quite frankly, our failure to hold him to do it, which was to begin a reverse auction, to get these distressed securities, moved us away from clarity of the pricing so that financial crisis became financial panic. And the Obama administration, I'm convinced, on the whole, has it right in beginning to soak up somehow, by various means, these distressed securities. Because you know who's been doing it in the meantime? The Federal Reserve.
That's
right. The tune of $2.7 trillion of assets are now on its books. And the reason it's not out there on the front pages is politics aren't involved. They're just doing it and keeping the lights of America going.
Well, Congressman, I appreciate your comments. One thing I'll add, that the encouraging sign that I saw in the Geithner proposal is that it is attempting to bring private money back into the markets.
Yes.
And that, I think, is a very important factor, because as long as we permit the government to absorb all the losses and then reprivatize it so that they can enjoy the profits on the way back up, we're going to get screwed. And so I do want to see private money back in the game, and the extent to which that can be induced is a worthwhile goal.
And Peter, if I could, one more, is we also need to make sure we get warrants so that we benefit in the profit for the taxpayers. And the last piece, which I still feel is missing, Peter, is we still don't have the comprehensive housing mortgage approach that we need. $50 to $100 billion of what he was talking about isn't enough. Until we begin to forgive some principle, because people are walking away, and I know it's the third rail of politics to some degree to even talk about this, But this is about the common good, not just moral hazard, but the common good.
That's right.
Because we have 12 million Americans underwater with a mortgage is more than the value of their house, and it'll go to 18.5 by the end of this year. And until we get that long pole in the tent fixed well, we won't really come out of this as quickly as we need to.
Joe Sestak, thank you for your time, and thanks for the straight talk. We don't get it from McCain, but we sure get it from you.
I enjoyed it, Peter. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again.
Looking forward to doing it again. Bye-bye.
Joe Sestak, Democrat from near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. We'll take a break and return and see if we can connect with Jackie Speier, Congresswoman from here in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. In Monterey County on Del Monte Boulevard at Lapis Road, we have a collision with no injuries. And on Highway 1, just south of Ocean Avenue, there is a female pedestrian walking and blocking the number 2 lane, so watch out for her. Moving on up to Salinas, we have a collision with an ambulance responding on Allisall Road at Hartnell Road. A vehicle has rolled over and is in the right shoulder. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a collision on Soquel Drive at Aptos Street. Also in Santa Cruz on southbound Highway 17 at Glenwood Drive, there's a traffic hazard in the number 2 lane. And in the Hollister-Gower area on Highway 152 at Bell Station, look out for the dog walking on the right shoulder of the highway. That's your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Have a great afternoon, everyone, and stay tuned for more Peter B. Collins.
Yeah. inflate the lifeboats, especially if your house is underwater. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. My lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B.
All the West is in Mayfest. Mother's touching needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's playing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep you coming around. Our house in the middle of our street.
And if you have a comment about what you heard from Congressman Joe Sestak, you can get on the horn right now at 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And we're expecting to hear at some point from Jackie Speier, the Democratic Congresswoman from just south of San Francisco. And a vote was called in the House just a few minutes ago, so it's probable that she'll call us next hour sometime during the free speech zone, but you never know. And when she does call in, we will talk to her and get her thoughts about the efforts to rebuild our economy with some government spending. And Jason Leopold will join us about 10 minutes from now to update us on Senator Leahy's call for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And as you know, I'd like something stronger. But given the posture of the Obama administration to date, it doesn't seem likely. So this could be the best we're going to get under these circumstances. Let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Crescent City is calling the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm okay, thanks. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like to wonder why people that are Democrats and Republicans, they keep arguing, not knowing who's better, Bush or Obama, which these people obviously don't understand that the world is being controlled by the New World Order, which is globalization of the world. And they're doing it through the credit system and banks. And they are getting the entire world into debt. And it's just, I just don't understand why, how people can't see that Obama and Bush are all puppets of the New World Order.
Well, I don't see it that way. I don't consider Obama to be a puppet of, a concept. The New World Order was a phrase that was originated by Poppy Bush trying to put a frame around his war against Iraq and the removal of Iraq from Kuwait back there in the early 90s. Now, I certainly do acknowledge that some of the interests are similar and overlap. But Obama is not nearly as captive to corporate interests as Bush was. And while I'm sorry to say that his actions to date don't really bear that out with Geithner in there and the moves that he is making, I do reject your notion that there's no difference between Bush and Obama, particularly on corporate or economic issues. I do think there's a difference.
Well, on the Federal Reserve, which is taken over the United States, is a private corporation, and it has it's pretty much a giant Ponzi scheme they are putting over on the people of America. Nobody knows that pretty much all your income tax does not go to any kind of things that pay for roads, schools. It's all paid into the interest of the debt that we owe the Federal Reserve, which was set up in 1913 by private families. And they did it mysteriously in Congress.
Well, Jeff, I do acknowledge that there are murky aspects to the way the Federal Reserve is set up, but it is owned by the federal government, and it is governed by the member banks. And yes, there is a, collusion between very wealthy Americans and the structure and operation of the Federal Reserve. But I don't go as far as you do, explaining this as a capitalist conspiracy.
Yeah, actually, because the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. The American government holds shares into the Federal Reserve, and this is all based into the centralized banks that are all in Europe and over there.
Well, it's more complicated than that. And tell me, what is your source? Where have you read about the Federal Reserve?
I'm glad you asked that. Pretty much, I get a lot of my information from Infowars.com, Alex Jones. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's exposed a lot of stuff about the New World Order, the Illuminati, and it just people need to understand what is happening with the world right now. They're trying to form the North American Union, the Asian Union, the European Union. These are all unions that are being formed by the banking systems. They're forming NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which is they're taking jobs away from the American people.
Well, and Jeff, the one thing is, I do understand, and I know that these thoughts and philosophies are out there. But the New World Order has been dealt a major setback by the greed of bankers and industrialists and capitalists. And we are going to be bailing it out. And where I think you and I might find a point of agreement is that we need to restructure moving forward for a much more clear system of governance of our financial affairs.
And one of the things that's trying to do with the bailouts is they're trying to bankrupt the American dollar. They're trying to form a one-world currency, which, you know, some people say is the Amero. Some people don't really know what it's actually going to be in the end. But
I've heard about that stuff, Jeff. So far, I'm not buying it. But thanks for bringing it up, and thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return. Jason Leopold, investigative reporter, will join us next, and we'll talk about Senator Pat Leahy's call for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Making it real. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody compares the economic crisis to the Great Depression, but there's a big difference.
Doing little or nothing at all will result in even greater deficits.
The president had to say that last night because some people don't believe the government needs to stimulate anything.
A failure to act will only deepen this crisis.
He has to say that because some people think doing nothing is still an option.
There's anyone out there who still doesn't believe this constitutes a full-blown crisis.
He is still trying to convince people this is real. See, that's something FDR didn't have to do in 1933 because it was plenty real and everybody knew it. Today, even customers of failed banks still have access to their savings. And yes, unemployment is rising, but most of the unemployed still get unemployment checks. This still isn't real to most people. In 1933, you didn't have to convince anybody it was real. It was all around you. And it was FDR's job to fix it. President Obama's job is to prevent it, which is like preventing a terrorist attack. If he succeeds, his critics will be able to say, well, probably wasn't going to happen anyway. So whatever bill he signs, it had better be something he truly believes in, because he is going to own this.
The plan's not perfect. No plan is. I can't tell you for sure that everything in this plan will work exactly as we hope.
Okay, but 90% of it had better work, whether it's bipartisan or not, because this is going to be his plan. If by November of 2012 there are millions of people long past their last unemployment check, nobody's going to remember that he got a handful of Republicans to go along. Now this.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Morgan now, he publishes on the nonprofit journalism website, The Public Record. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Leopold.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay. This term stimulate, is this kind of getting out of hand? I mean, you've got a radio station there in L.A.
Yeah.
That promises more stimulating talk radio. And it's just the usual, you know, array of right-wing nuts, stimulating, yeah, mostly stimulating themselves.
It's funny. I think that you... Yeah, I know that to some degree you're sort of, poking fun at it, but it certainly does, when you hear the word stimulus right now,
yeah,
sort of has a deflating feeling or meaning, as opposed to, you know, stimulating, you know, as in a cup of coffee or methamphetamine. but, you know, certainly the way it's been used,
mm-hmm,
over and over in the past few weeks, It almost comes across as it's a, you know, it's a bad thing. It just gives you this, there's some negativity associated with it.
Well, it's like some old codgers with a penis pump. I can't afford Viagra.
yeah. But it's, you know, I think that to call it a stimulus package, I think that, you know, to some degree, it's sort of misleading as well because, you know, you're hoping that it's gonna that's what it's gonna do, but there's certainly no guarantee.
Yeah.
Still, I think that what's been happening the past several weeks has just been to some degree disturbing in terms of all the jobs that are being lost.
And Jason,
while Congress, you know, hammers this out.
I want to come at this from an angle that, first of all, I want to thank you because you were the first to report when I saw yesterday that Senator Pat Leahy, head of the Judiciary Committee in the,
yeah,
Senate, is calling for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We'll get into that in a moment. But
sure.
I believe that we continue to see the Republicans framing and defining the issues, and the Democrats are scrambling. And it started in the fall when they jammed through the Bush-Pelosi,
right,
TARP package, and had to be done right away, emergency, and yet we've seen that fully one-third of the money was completely wasted, according to Elizabeth Warren, and the Democrats remain really on the pages set by the Republicans, where they're,
yeah,
saying, please, if we throw a few more tax cuts at you, will you please let us extend unemployment benefits and pass out more food stamp money?
Right. Well, you know, Peter, you and I have had this conversation regarding the way that the Democrats have disseminated their message and how they've actually failed at that. And, you know, again, this is where the Republicans excel. They have, even though they are in the minority right now, they still have an unbelievably powerful communications base. And the Democrats, by and large, just, first of all, they, many different, you have the Progressive Caucus, you have the, you know, the various, the Blue Dog Caucus, you have so many different parts of the Democratic Party that nobody, first of all, is on the same page. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, disagreement among Democrats. And that coupled with the fact that they are so terrible at disseminating their message, you know, about staying on point, that it's been a blow, you know, to the party. And, you know, this is why, you know, for a very long time, first of all, you know, you could talk about it within the media, just that the Republicans, you know, are able to get their message out, and simply because of the powerful communications base that they have.
But again, also Coase has shown in recent weeks that there are more Republicans talking about all this on television than Democrats, even on the alleged liberal channel MSNBC.
Right. Well, you know what, Peter? That is, here's the problem, and I have seen this over and over again. I can tell you, in 15 years that I've been, you know, covering various domestic issues, the Democrats knee-jerk, and what I mean is that they look at the headlines, look at what's being said, and then react to that instead of getting out there ahead, you know, of what's going to be in the papers and getting their message out. So they react to what they are seeing or hearing. They don't want to say it. They have been on the defense.
Yeah.
For so long, and you know, it's they're sort of like the battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
In a sense. You know, they just keep going back and keep going back I believe that is sort of the battered wife syndrome in a sense that they continuously remain on defense instead of on message. You know, it's pretty transparent.
And the to me at the basis of it all is the failure to investigate up to and including impeachment when that was available while Bush was still in office, and to really expose the wrongdoing and hold people accountable, if only for the political gain of throwing the Republicans onto the defensive.
Yeah.
But they refuse to do that, and Obama is continuing this. We spent the first portion of the show today talking about this ugly hearing at the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco on Monday, where the government lawyers said, nope, no change. We're here with the same tune that Bush told us to sing, and we've been told that Obama, or at least Holder at the Justice Department, approved this. And so there is no change on the abuse of the state secret privilege to prevent embarrassment, not to protect national security.
And, you know, it's really important that we just get this out right immediately, is that the state secrets privilege certainly just seems, first of all, the fact that they're using it in this case when there is so much information that is available about this case in other countries and in books by Seymour Hersh. I mean, the idea that this remains a secret is just laughable, because it's no longer a secret. We're obviously the rendition case where he was flown to another country, Egypt, tortured. I mean, the details about this have been collected over the past 3 to 4 years. So we already know to some degree what took place, what unfolded, certainly with regard to Boeing, you know, that and their role in this. But it remains a secret, you know, in federal court, you know, so it really doesn't make sense. And on top of it, we already know that he's the wrong guy that was picked up. So certainly it does seem to me, based on, you know, the conversations that Leon Panetta had been involved with, the CIA pick, and Eric Holder, the Attorney General, it does seem like there's some sort of, you know, I'm not sure if it's a quid pro quo between the intelligence agencies and the Obama administration, but certainly it does set a really bad precedent.
Well, and the way that Kit Bond cornered Leon Panetta,
right,
and got Panetta to retract. I mean, he almost said, "My name's not really Leon."
To
retract what is so clearly proven on the public record, and to allow Bond to characterize rendition and torture as the fantasies of the liberal media and some bloggers.
Right.
I mean, that's insulting to every American.
Peter, look. You know, last week Dick Cheney, out of office for less than a month, gave an interview. Pretty unprecedented to have a, you know, former vice president be so critical of the policies of a new administration. But he gave this interview and said that what Obama has been doing, or at least the way he has been dismantling many of the policies with regard to interrogation and intelligence of the Bush administration, will lead to another attack. And, you know, that got a lot of ink, a lot of airtime, but it also somehow really resonated to some degree with people like Leon Panetta, because they, you know, look, we found them, or suddenly we're seeing, you know, the way that the Democrats, the Obama administration, and you got to give them, you know, come some slack, because it's still a young administration, but the way that they're reacting to this, and they're reacting by, going back on their word to some extent.
And there were so many other possible plays at the Ninth Circuit on Monday to say, we're a new administration, we need more time to evaluate this.
Peter, they were given the opportunity by the judge, one of the appeals court judges, to say, is there a change in your position?
Right.
Now that, because of the new administration, this was asked of the DOJ attorney twice. Twice he was asked, you know, almost, and it was the question was posed in such a way by the judge as if to say, "Are you sure?
Right.
You don't want to change your position?" I mean, it really caught people off guard.
Yeah.
And look, you know, again, if this were a case that just sort of came out of nowhere, we're just learning the details. Again, maybe that would the reaction of civil libertarians and progressives would be different. But the fact of the matter is, this is a case that the details of which are well known. There are, you know, thanks to some, you know, investigative work by, you know, people like Seymour Hersh, I think Jane Mayer from The New Yorker had done some articles, and the ACLU, and everything that has come out so far really sort of, you know, suggests that this is no longer a state secret.
Well, and in addition, Jason, there is a whole group, their work surfaced in the book Torture Taxi by Trevor Paglen and A.C. Thompson.
Yeah.
And I have a report that just came in. I can't confirm this, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. All right, this comes from a listener who emailed. We were talking about rendition, and he said that the planes are still flying. And he names a tail number, N88ZL, Zebra Leo, did a flight from San Francisco on February 6th of 2009. Now, I don't know where they went, but we know that there are plane spotters, amateurs, all over the world, who sit around at airports and wait for these planes to come in, log the information.
Yeah.
And so the government imagines that they can roll all this stuff up, call it secret, and say that it's off limit from the courts. It's purely unconstitutional. There's really no other way to gild that lily.
Yeah, you know, what really needs to happen, and certainly the pressure needs to stay on the Obama administration, there needs to be a public airing of all this, because this is not going to go away. That's the problem that the Democrats and the Obama administration will face. And certainly, you know, right out of the gate to say, we've reviewed everything and this should remain a state secret. I mean, it's really important to also say that it's not just asserting state secrets over a particular aspect of this case. This is, you know, blanket state secrets. If you get what I'm driving at here, is that they could, the new Justice Department could certainly say, well, look, you know, this part of the case whether it has to do with the flights, the rendition flights, or some of the intelligence orders, you know, that needs to remain under the national security secrecy.
Yeah.
But the other aspects of it, certainly, you know, they can put out there. But again, I think it's, you know, we got to get back to the fact that this is a matter of embarrassment and shielding the intelligence community and the CIA, you know, from such embarrassment.
Well, it's really, unfortunately, hammer time.
Can't touch this.
Yeah. Bringing it back old school.
Can't touch this.
The court says...
You can't touch this.
Because the government says you can't even
touch
it.
This.
We'll take a break and return with Jason Leopold. Talk about Leahy's support for a commission and what that means. You got a question or comment? You can touch it. Call me. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
I told you, homeboy. Can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know. Can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man. Can't touch this.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Thea with your KRXA traffic and weather report. In Monterey County, there's a traffic hazard on Ridgecrest Road at Vega Road. And in Santa Cruz, we've got some defective traffic signals on Soquel Drive at Porter Street. CHP is on the scene directing traffic now. Taking a look at Hollister-Gilroy on Mesa Road, just east of Santa Teresa Boulevard, there's a traffic hazard. A vehicle is blocking the lane there. And weather, it's partly sunny out. We've got highs in the low 50s along the coast and in the valleys. Tonight we're expecting some rain and for our temperatures to drop into the low 40s. Right now in Monterey, it's 51 degrees. Salinas is 53 degrees. And in Santa Cruz, it's 50 degrees. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody. Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, KRXA listeners. This is Sylvia Waldrop-Quarles, president of the Monterey County Branch NAACP. We're excited to announce our annual Life Membership Awards Dinner being held on Saturday, February 21st from 6 to 10 at the lovely Embassy Suites. KRXA's own Hal Ginsberg will be receiving the NAACP's Spirit of Partnership Award. Come to the dinner to show your support on February 21st. For tickets, call us at 394-3727. Tickets are $75 each. Again, call us at 394-3727. Yes, that's 394-3727.
Bush, Cheney, Addington. Gosh, did those guys ever break the law?
You know, it just doesn't slip my mind. It just doesn't slip my mind. Just so hard to find. It just doesn't slip my mind. I left my body somewhere down the line. It's just so easy to lose track of time. It just doesn't slip my mind. It just
just don't slip my mind.
That's an oldie but a goodie from The Doors, post Jim Morrison. It just slipped my mind. And that seems to be what people are hoping for, public amnesia. And who wants to go back and relive the bad deeds of the Bush administration? Well, that's the frame and the tone that's being set, and I'm pleased that senators like Sheldon Whitehouse say, well, I'm not going to cover up torture, and Patrick Leahy, to his credit, a guy who generally plays it pretty safe, Jason Leopold, has stepped up, and in a speech on Monday that I believe you broke the news on, he said, well, he supports a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, yeah, I think you know that I want full prosecutions. I want a special prosecutor. I want the Justice Department to follow the leads wherever they go. But I'm realistic that the political climate isn't there to support it.
Well, it's not there, but what should be encouraging to people is that the leadership certainly believes that there needs to be some sort of commission. You know, you can call it what you will. But I can tell you, Peter, that, you know, they could, you set up a commission, and if they want, with subpoena power, and, you know, I know a lot of people will disagree about this, but you start getting, you know, documents and exposing the secrecy behind the past 8 years, that will certainly not only outrage people, but I think that their hand will be forced in a sense that, you know, you can't put this out there and then say we're not going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, I think is a good first step, and I know that people disagree with it because, you know, you want prosecutions right off the bat. But look, there needs to be an investigation to begin with. You know, that's where you have to start and where.
Okay, but Conyers has done the baseline investigation. What we need to do is call witnesses and get people
exactly
to tell their story.
Conyers, John Conyers, the House Judiciary Committee chairman, and Leahy have both proposed. Now Leahy, you know, sort of put this, he put this out there on Monday, yesterday, at Georgetown University Law Center, sort of to get a, you know, test the waters to see what the reaction would be. And, you know, he suggested, listen, let's have a commission set up, you know, with subpoena power. We can grant witnesses immunity. And he certainly, like, even went further to say, I don't want any criminal indictment. This is, you know, this is just what I want to go after. So he is hedging a bit in terms of, you know, what will happen down the road, depending on what they find.
But
so,
let me offer a parallel here, because, you know, what if we applied the same approach to gangs or to drug dealers? And we said, look, we really just want to know how it all works. We want to get to the bottom of it.
Right.
And we promise not to prosecute you if you just all come down and tell the truth. Well, there would be huge outrage to give people a pass from criminal behavior that is clearly wrong and allow them to come with immunity and explain, oh, yeah, this is how we did it. This is who we killed and where we buried him. And, it's really, I really do appreciate that grant of immunity.
Yeah, and you know, and this is where it becomes political because, you know, first of all, just like the confirmation hearings of Eric Holder and the, you know, Republican demands that he vow not to pursue prosecution, it is unheard of. I mean, you don't ask an attorney, you know, to promise not to prosecute without even knowing any of the evidence. I mean, it's a matter of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it becomes political in the sense that the Democrats are well aware that, you know, that it's not that the people want to move on, because I don't even think they have any idea what the people want. I really believe that, Peter. I don't think that the Democrats, certainly the Republicans, but I don't even think the Democrats have any idea, you know, what the public wants, because, you know, if they were aware of that, I think we would have seen, you know, much of this, many of these investigations launched years ago. But, you know, so they're sort of, you know, taking baby steps. But here's where things sort of get a bit outrageous, and you're talking in terms of your, you know, analogy with the gangs. I mean, I just want to, you know, put this out there that, you know, part of the things that, some of the things they want to investigate are whether or not Alberto Gonzalez, former attorney general, whether he lied to Congress
mm-hmm.
With regard to By the way, there is an investigation into that already. But whether, you know, with regard to his the firings of U.S. attorneys. So he is under investigation. They refuse to really, you know, or he's under investigation, you know, by a special prosecutor. But Congress actually refuses to, you know, go after these people. Meanwhile, today you have former Baltimore Orioles shortstop Miguel Tejada, who was charged with lying to Congress. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't seen it. No.
But lying to Congress regarding, you know, whether he used steroids.
Yeah.
he was charged with lying to Congress. How many people in the in the Bush administration went before Congress and, you know, look, I don't have the evidence, but I think it's safe to say they lied.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you have a federal prosecutor based on, you know, the on the request of Congress charging this ball player with you know, with a crime.
Well, and it just
that
shows
does not apply.
Yeah.
That does not apply to anyone else.
The political class is different. They are above
exactly.
the law. Jason, I got to run. Thank you for your work. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you next
Peter.
Week.
Look forward to it.
Read him at pubrecord.org. That's the public record. And if you can help, it's a nonprofit site, and they could use your contributions. We'll take a break and return with the Free Speech Zone, led off by Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Senate's version of the economic stimulus plan won final approval today. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
With 60 votes required to pass, it squeaked by with 61. In case his vote was needed, Ted Kennedy interrupted treatment for a brain tumor to vote on the Senate floor, where he was greeted by Robert Byrd, his friend of more than 45 years. All but three Republicans voted no.
And I think the thing the American people find most offensive about this is the wasteful spending. It's the pork.
The president now appears resigned to pushing the stimulus through Congress with the bare minimum of Republican support.
Mr. Obama was at a town meeting in Fort Myers, Florida when the Senate voted. He told the audience it was good news, but
we've still got to get the House bill and the Senate bill to match up before it gets sent to my desk, so we've got a little more work to do over the next couple of days.
Each plan totals more than $800 billion, but the Senate version has more tax cuts. The House bill has more spending. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was a market mover today, but not in a good way. The Dow fell nearly 400 points after he outlined a new approach to shoring up banks and getting credit flowing again.
Specifically about that problem.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington.
Is that we're going to bring
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner answered questions for several hours in the Senate Banking Committee. He admitted that his job is a lot harder because Americans think the first bank bailout plan known as TARP failed. Geithner said dividends from bank stock will soon be paid to the government. That's something. And on his new plan, nicknamed TARP 2,
we will make progress over time. It's not going to be even. It'll be messy at times, but we will make progress.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Art Hogan, chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company, says Geithner's words were not the reassurance Wall Street wanted to hear.
The message delivered by the government today in the form of the Treasury Secretary is that these problems are dire. The problems are severe, the problems are long-term, and the problems are ones that are going to take years, not months, to correct. And I think the market is taking that news very seriously.
Wall Street was also troubled by the lack of specifics in Geithner's plan. One day after Alex Rodriguez confessed to his past use of performance-enhancing drugs, another baseball star is caught up in the steroid scandal. Houston Astros shortstop Miguel Tejada is accused of lying under oath about steroid use in baseball. Washington Post baseball writer Dave Shinen says it happened in 2005 when congressional investigators started looking into the problem.
In the process of speaking to those investigators, Tejada denied any ever using steroids and also said that he was not aware of any other players using steroids. And ultimately, it's that second statement that tripped him up.
Tejada played for the Oakland A's at the time. He allegedly lied to cover up for a teammate. The company that supplies elevator music is in the financial basement. Muzak has filed for bankruptcy protection as it tries to refinance a huge debt. The price of oil down $2 today to $38 a barrel. This is CBS News.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver package. It'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Yeah, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 3/31/09.
If you're curious about the latest advances in medicine and not made queasy by the sight of blood and guts, you can now get into an operating room by going online. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan explains.
Detroit's Henry Ford Hospital is Twittering some of its surgeries, posting real-time updates on the blogging site Twitter. One yesterday showed a play-by-play rundown of a robot-assisted operation on a 60-year-old man with kidney cancer.
We also see it as an educational component, both for patients and physicians, to let them know about new treatment options.
Bill Ferris manages web services at the hospital and says care comes first, Twittering second. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
It's the kind of thing that usually happens in spring and summer, but today a severe weather system produced a tornado in central Oklahoma. 6 homes were damaged or destroyed, but no serious injuries are reported. Maine now claims New England bragging rights for the coldest weather. It hit 50 below last month. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming out, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Free Speech Zone this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show and more daylight. Our radio stations are fully powered up, and I want to hear the power of your ideas and comments. Toll free, my number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Topic A today, the embarrassing embrace by the Obama Justice Department of the Bush administration's really strange, stretched arguments about the state secret privilege. We talked with Glenn Greenwald about that earlier in the program, and your comments are welcome. You also heard Democratic Representative Joe Sestak talk about the stimulus package on Capitol Hill. And I'm pleased to be joined right now by California Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier. She distinguished herself as a state senator here in California, taking on the banks and financial institutions over predatory practices, including using marketing information improperly. Jackie Speier, welcome back to our program.
Great to be with you, Peter.
Tell me how it's going there and how you feel about the back and forth and the prospects for the conference committee reporting out the combined Senate and House stimulus packages.
I don't think there's any doubt that there will be a measure before the House probably on Friday, Saturday at the latest, probably to the Senate in lightning speed and probably signed by the president by Monday is my guess.
Okay. So it
on
is.
On President's Day.
Uh-huh. So it's moving on track from your perspective?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference between the House version and the Senate version is, you know, de minimis in the big picture. I mean, about 90% of the measure that the House sent over was embraced by the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
One glaring area is in school construction,
yeah,
where the Senate zeroed it out and the House had about $20 billion set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And those are real jobs. And so we're going to do our level best to make sure that funding gets back into the package, because this is about creating jobs for American families, and we can't lose sight of that.
Now, what about the money for states? Because while I don't want to reward the bad behavior of the radical Republicans in Sacramento, they've got us on our knees. California is broke. We're out of cash. People can't get their tax refunds back, and critical payments from the state government to counties are going to be suspended here over the next few weeks. So the crunch is really on. And I'm disappointed to see that Democrats or people who claim to be Democrats, like Senator Nelson, felt, and he's a former state governor. I can't believe that he helped lead the charge to strip that out of the package.
You know, it boggles my mind as well, because in the end, you know, these people we represent are the same people, whether they're being provided services through the state or the federal government. And there's a little bit of we can't give it to the governors because then they're just going to use it and they'll never get to the local jurisdictions. And, you know, in California in particular, we are suffering a Katrina-like event. And we should be positioning ourselves back here to talk about it in those terms. We are a donor state to the tune of about $50 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, we're giving more of our tax dollars back to the federal government than we see coming back to the state.
And that's after all of the aerospace spending in Southern California.
We are the philanthropist for the rest of the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it was a billion or two, it was okay. But when you're talking $50 billion, you're talking real dollars. And so I'm trying to make the case that we've got to be more aggressive in protecting California from the federal coffers that exist.
Mm-hmm. And do you have hope that in the conference, and well, let me back up for a sec. Under the Republican control, the conference committees were a black hole. And Ted Stevens could go in there and jam in stuff that was never even considered in a committee,
right,
or heard on the floor before.
Yeah,
so what
outrageous
are,
behavior.
What are
well,
the rules?
Not his, though.
Well, he did. What are the rules for the conference process? Will they be more fair and more transparent?
I think it will be fair and more transparent. This bill in particular is devoid of what are called earmarks. And
mm-hmm.
your reference to Ted Stevens was, you know, an effort that he would use frequently to just jam a special earmark in that never had seen the light of day. But earmarks are really devoid in this particular measure, which I salute. I mean, I herald it because I think that process is just fraught with fraud and abuse.
You don't have room for a bridge to nowhere in Hillsborough?
No, I don't. Or in San Francisco, which is part of my district as well.
You could get all the way to Millbrae.
Right. You know, the crazy thing about that, when she said, when Sarah Palin said, well, we told them we didn't want the money, they still kept the money.
That's right.
They didn't build the bridge, but they still have built a road to nowhere.
Yeah, the no thanks part wasn't accurate.
Yeah, right.
Well, Jackie, as we look at the big picture here, many of my listeners are concerned at the way Obama keeps turning the other cheek. He's about out of cheeks. And I really don't support his postpartisan, bipartisan, three Republicans in the cabinet game plan, because he's getting bupkis in return. I mean, even John McCain, who he gave special recognition to the night before his own inauguration, turned on him in about 22 minutes.
I'll tell you, the American people don't want to see bipartisanship. They want to see us working together. And I think we have to extend our hand as frequently as we can to try and find ways to work together. You know, when people, when the Republicans say that this is, you know, this is a terrible bill, I hasten to say, you know, they voted for TARP, which fixed Wall Street. It was about propping up the financial services industry in this country. This is a bill that's going to help Main Street. This is money going directly into communities to create jobs. It extends unemployment benefits. It creates an opportunity for a COBRA to be deductible. All the kinds of things that are going to help American families, and that's not okay. Well, you know, if it is our tax dollars and we're getting it back in a tax cut, which 95% of Americans will see a tax cut as a result of this particular bill, that's great, because it's money coming back to them.
Well, I support the middle class tax cut that Obama campaigned on, and I support,
and that's in the bill. 95%.
Right. I support the concept that the Republicans injected. I haven't read the fine print, so I don't want to sign off on it totally. But the idea of reducing payroll taxes is a way to put money in people's paychecks right away.
No, I agree with you on that. And that is not in the bill yet, but I think we should look at it. It is the swiftest way of, you know, trying to stimulate the economy. Now, the downside, of course, is this whole concept of the paradox of thrift.
Mm-hmm.
Where Americans for all these years have not saved money, but now that we're in this financial crisis, they are saving money, and it's precisely the time when you want people spending money to inject the economy with some opportunities for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really unclear whether or not these small stimulus returns, you know, these $500 returns to the taxpayers, mm-hmm, actually generate the kind of result we'd like to see.
How about a raise for Social Security recipients? They would spend that, you know, within 2 weeks of receiving it.
Well, you know what the economists say? The best way to stimulate the economy is with unemployment insurance, because people who are on unemployment insurance spend the money.
Yeah.
They say that as well for food stamps. So those are stimulating techniques that really do work.
Mm-hmm. We need a new word.
Right.
Stimulus stimulating is getting a little overused. Jackie, let me turn next to the banking situation, because Secretary Geithner unveiled some of his proposals today, not all. And the thing that I'm most attracted to is the idea that they're trying to get private money back into the game. I have been very uncomfortable watching the economy collapse, and all the effort is coming with our taxpayer dollars, no private money. So that I support. But Geithner really seems to be too tied to the Goldman Sachs country club mentality, and he's resisting any further limits on executive pay, and he really is trying to avoid nationalizing the banks. And I think that it's almost inevitable at this stage. I don't want to believe that, but that's the way I read the situation. And I think that this is another short-term Band-Aid-type effort that is not addressing the key underlying problems, nor the potential fraud that occurred over the last 7 or 8 years.
The financial services industry is broken. And we have already thrown trillions of dollars. I mean, the Fed alone, because it can use this 13-3 authority, allows them for exigent circumstances to act independently. And as they did with Bear Stearns, where they came up with $28 billion, and we all were aghast at how much money that was. Well, since then, you know, they have gone on to spend over $2 trillion. Now, they're all loans, and they, as Chairman Bernanke said in a hearing today, they must be repaid. and the taxpayers are going to get their money back. But, you know, there's been an oversight committee in which Elizabeth Warren has been the chair of, and they've now looked at the money that has been provided to AIG and Citigroup and, you know, all of the other institutions, and they're saying that we are getting like 66 cents.
Yeah, we overpaid because it was crony to crony.
Right.
We don't have an independent voice there. Elizabeth Warren is a breath of fresh air.
Isn't she, though?
She is telling the truth. She's the one who should be running the bailout, not the overseer.
Well, I would agree with you. And, you know, one of the questions that I didn't get a chance to ask today, because, you know, Chairman Bernanke has also said, well, we don't really want to disclose because we don't want to put a stigma on these banks that somehow they're in trouble. Well, you know what? All the banks are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that charade is over. And, you know, one of the things I think that happened with AIG was buttressed up because Goldman Sachs had a lot to lose. They were one of those third parties that were going to really be out of it. And so I've heard figures as much as $30 billion were transferred to Goldman Sachs, and that was part of what the bailout was of AIG.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to buy into anything anymore that doesn't have complete transparency.
Yeah.
Because it absolutely, you know, is a, you know, heat-seeking missile for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, how's your time? I need to take a break here. Can you stay with us, or should we?
Sure, I can stay with you.
Okay, great. We'll do one more segment with Congresswoman Jackie Speier here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stand by for more right here.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey County, we've got a traffic collision with no details on Forest Lodge Road at Ortega Road, and we've got a bunch of traffic hazards to report this afternoon. The first one is in Monterey County on the northbound 1 at Costa Verde Way, and in Salinas, we have a hazard on the southbound 101 just south of Main Street. Making our way up to Hollis-Gilroy on Mesa Road just east of Santa Teresa Boulevard, I told you about this one earlier, there's a vehicle blocking the lane there. And weather, currently it's partly sunny and we've got highs in the low 50s throughout the Tri-County area. Tonight we're expecting rain with temps in the lower 40s and south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. For Hump Day Wednesday, showers are likely with highs in the mid 50s. Well, that's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540. We'll be right back with the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. A lot of hallowed doors. They're closing all the libraries. Doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards.
California's broke. The president acknowledged in his news conference that our economy has tanked. And that's not a technical term, but it speaks volumes about what we're facing. We're talking now with Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier. She represents parts of San Francisco and the area immediately south in San Mateo County, the gateway to Silicon Valley. And, Jackie, one of the proposals here that has come from a three-judge panel is to reduce the prison population in California. You're no longer on the beat in Sacramento. But do you consider that to be a very important move to try to stabilize our budget?
The criminal justice prison system budget has grown, three or fourfold in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, maybe 8 years ago it was at $2 billion. It's now over $13 billion. It now eclipses the higher education budget in California, and it's out of control. So many people are serving time now in state prison for what are called low-level offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been orchestrated. It's been orchestrated by the Prison Guards Union.
Oh, amen.
And the groups that they've created, and the Californians have sort of bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, I spent a lot of time when I was campaigning statewide trying to make the case that, you know, we've got to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to put your money? You want to put it in higher education? Or do you want to put it in the prison system?
Yeah.
And at the time, we had about 170,000 inmates in state prison and 170,000 students at UC, and we were spending five times as much money on the inmates in state prison as we were the students at UC.
Yeah, it's really sad, and politically it's very hard for politicians, elected officials, to speak the truth about that, and I hope people will start. I want to return to the scene there in Washington, and many people feel that we haven't gotten the sequence right, and that in order to find bottom in the housing market, we've got to deal with the problem mortgages. The Alt-A's are just, and the option arms are just starting through the pipeline right now. Yet we're only hearing about a $50 billion package. That's not nearly enough, and it doesn't address the very real problems that people have and the need for fairly immediate relief.
Well, you know, first of all, Peter, I think we've all got to be willing to say a lot of those people that got into those mortgages shouldn't have been qualified for them,
mm-hmm.
pure and simple. Now, whether it was the mortgage broker, the loan originator, the servicer, the bank, the appraiser, I mean, they all had a piece of it.
Well, in the industry, they called them liar's loans.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They were not unaware of what they were doing.
So we created this image that somehow the American dream was and is to own a home. And so, you know, there are people at a local counseling session that I was at making $3,000 a month with a $500,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. So while I do believe we need to modify the mortgages and we need to put the money there, I really embrace Sheila Bair from the FDIC, who has really come up with an idea that makes a lot of sense. Now, some of these people, once you modify their mortgages, are going to redefault, but you factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, you start to stabilize the market. The home prices get stabilized. The revenues to local cities and counties get stabilized because there's a downhill spiral going on right now that is affecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, we think, well, it's not going to affect us because, you know, we're paying our mortgage on time, it's not true. It is going to affect us because the homes in the surrounding area are going to be impacted as well.
Yeah, the comps on my house are affected by that vacant foreclosed home down the street.
That's correct.
And so we all have an interest, even though we can play a blame game, and I'll bet there were some predatory borrowers. I know there were some predatory lenders. But, gosh, if we're not going to indict anybody on Wall Street for the big heists,
I agree with you.
I think we have to kind of have a forgiveness factor here and say, well, you know, the health of the overall economy in our individual neighborhoods is more important than singling somebody out for blame.
Well, I would agree with you. But in terms of modifying these loans, a high number of them can be modified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a modification can take, you know, really bringing down the actual principal by...
Jackie, I'm out of time. Thank you very much, Jackie Spear. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
The $64,000 question.
I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do.
Hi, it's Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap and the $64,000 question. Where do you go to get a free checking account, no minimum balance, and they give you free money? And the answer is Wachovia Bank in the Sand Dollar Shopping Center in Sand City across from Borders. Wow, I got a lot of advertising in there. Remember, you're going to get money, free money, just by mentioning my name, Bob Oliver, at Wachovia Bank. Free money, free checking, and no minimum balance. Think for yourself. The Quantum Leap and KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's time for the free speed zone. All my lines are open for you right now, and we'll pay for the call. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-5-7-3-8-3-7-2. Lines open for your comments on the bailout, the economy, the housing crisis, or anything else you'd like to talk about, including the state secret case that came before the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco on Monday, and the very disappointing posture of the Obama administration on that issue. You know the number, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. My apologies for the last segment there. We ran out of time, and we were still talking, I think, when the commercials started playing. It's sometimes hard to get it across to the people I'm talking to that the clock is running and that we're going to go right off the edge, but that's what happened. So the rest of the program is for you. Let me know what's on your mind today, what you care about, what you think about, your reaction to President Obama's first primetime news conference Monday evening. We carried healthy portions of it here on the program. And I watched it again when I got home. And on content and delivery, attitude, Obama gets very high marks. As I commented yesterday, it's so nice to have a president who stands up there without notes, speaks in complete sentences, and actually makes sense. Even if you don't agree with the policies he's explaining, you can understand him. He's rational, and he expresses things in terms that I don't find condescending, but I do think are accessible to the average American. So when Obama says the economy has tanked, I think that's something that everybody understands. Also, to his credit, he went on for almost an hour. Bush would typically, you know, crawl out in 30 minutes or less. And Bush and previous presidents have often had a reporter planted who they call on to end the news conference. Somebody they can count on to say, "Thank you, Mr. President." And in some of his answers, Obama went on for 5, 6, even 7 minutes. And that, I don't think, is necessarily in his best interest. We live in a soundbite culture. And I'm sorry, a 7-minute answer is going to get cut into 2 strips, 10 seconds each. And while Obama is a former professor, and I think that he explains things well and in an interesting way, I think it would behoove him to shorten some of those answers so that what is left after the sound bites are carved out is meaningful and has enough detail without going into a book-length answer. And the media gets a B. There were a bunch of new people populating the presidential press conference. My former producer, Matt Renner, was there. He wrote a piece. You can read it at truthout.org. But he didn't get called on to ask a question. A Huffington Post person did. I'm trying to think. There was one other non-mainstream outlet that jumped out at me. But they didn't ask about the case that I'm most interested in, that we've been talking about today with Glenn Greenwald and others. Which is that, hey, I didn't get the kind of change I could believe in. When it comes to a critical issue, the shielding of information using the state secret privilege, when A, the information is already public, and B, it appears to be that the shield is used to prevent embarrassment, not to either inform people or to protect national security. And I agree with Glenn Greenwald that this is a very disappointing case. A very disappointing performance early in the Obama administration. And when you tie it together with the comments the president made about how nobody's above the law, but he wants to move forward, not look backward. I'm getting tired of that. In fact, President Obama, can you retire that phrase? Because this is not a choice. This is not an optional situation. Where you can say, oh, I just want to move on. I don't want to look back at these ugly episodes of the past. Well, it's not optional. We need to investigate. And where laws were broken, we need to criminally prosecute. And I say this about Democrats who are working in this administration, just as I say it about those who worked for the previous president. Nobody's above the law. And nobody gets to decide what laws will or will not be enforced. And as we discussed with Jason Leopold last hour, nobody would have a truthiness commission for drug dealers or car thieves or even bank thieves. Say, come on down, tell your story. Promise, we won't prosecute. We'll give you full immunity for your testimony. Why is the governing class treated that way, and the working class subject to the law at every turn? This is untenable. It's not consistent with the rule of law. It's not consistent with constitutional values. And we need to press this Obama administration to change. We need to press Eric Holder to lift the state secret gag on Sybil Edmonds and to refile the briefs in the San Francisco case. Those judges were begging to be told, yes, there's a new policy because there's a new administration. And they seemed truly shocked when the answer was, no, meet the new boss. He's the same as the old boss. And the policies are the same. 888-5, pardon me, I still got this crud in my throat. I just can't get rid of it. If I had some scotch here to go away right now, but I don't drink while I'm talking. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We kick it off with Drew in Monterey. Welcome, Drew.
Hey, I could use some scotch myself, so forgive me if I'm a little coffee.
I hear you.
This isn't exactly what I called about, so I'll make it real brief. The trouble with the corrupt politicians is I think they've duped the American public into thinking that because they resign or get fired from their job, that is their punishment. Like, that is the ultimate punishment. They just kind of go away and get swept under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, often what happens, as you well know, is they end up working for some wealthy firm somewhere as an advisor or a partner.
Well, and more explicit than that, Drew, they end up working for a lobbying firm or a law firm that counsels other people how to get away with the same kind of crap.
Yeah, and it's just, it makes me want to drink scotch for another reason, not just my sore throat. So, but you know, the reason I called, Peter, is about the press conference. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if this is routine. Correct me if this is routine, but the president had a list of reporters to call upon.
Yeah.
And he didn't even recognize the reporter. Sometimes he would call a name and be looking on one side of the room. That person would pop up on the other side of the room. And it just felt a little preconceived and a little staged. I'd like to see a press conference be more fluid,
yeah,
natural flowing. Just
mm-hmm.
pick people at random instead of, you know, pre-approved questions.
Well, it is fairly common for the president to have a list, and I do believe that some of this is orchestrated on the back channels where the press secretary says, "What are you going to ask?" And the reporter says, "Oh, I'm going to ask a softball about the stimulus." And the press secretary says, "Okay, he'll call on you."
Yeah, I just something about that just feels a little plastic, just phony to me. I mean, mm-hmm. I felt like he was giving honest answers
yeah.
to the questions, you know, and some of it kind of turned my stomach. Some of it I liked. So,
mm-hmm. well,
I agree with you that he would do. It would behoove him to keep his answers short and concise. People get lost in the jargon.
Yeah. The other thing about the conduct of it, I agree with you that by using that list and never appearing to just say, "Oh, let's talk to so-and-so from such-and-such an outlet," he does come off looking scripted in that respect. And I don't think that serves our interest or his. I would like a much more freewheeling approach, and let's talk that up and see if they listen and pick up on it.
Sounds good, Peter.
All right, Drew, thanks for the call. Here's John in Carmel Valley. Welcome, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm on my usual theme, and that is to just have to listen to the extreme timidity, and that's a polite word. English just isn't up to describing their scaredy cat tendencies, and you've got to ask yourself not only where this comes from, but if a doctor fainted at the sight of blood, he wouldn't have much of a future as a physician, would he? And this bunch, it's like fire chiefs. They want to be. Nancy Pelosi wants passionately to be Speaker of the House. Harry Reid wants to be Majority Leader. They all want these jobs. And did you hear Tom Hartman the other night? He said Harry Reid needs smelling salts because he's so afraid of letting or challenging the Republicans who are opposed to the package to filibuster. And
right.
He said, let them filibuster and make asses of themselves, which I agree would be the thing to do. But why is Harry Reid afraid of such a small little thing? It's like the question of questions is, how did this crop of failures, Harry Reid is an army of corpses, has more gumption than he has. He's actually, I think, more timid even than Nancy is, and she's certainly got a terrible case. They all have. All the key members are just simply like your political man on Friday said a couple of weeks ago when he said that he was convinced it was cowardice that was the key problem, and it is. But why? Why are they so afraid? Where did they catch this thing?
Well, you make very good points, and I do agree that Harry Reid is a follower much more than a leader, and that Pelosi has not distinguished herself as a leader in her 2+ years now as Speaker of the House. One thing I will say, and I don't mean this as a cop-out or any rationalization, but imagine that you are the leader of a group of 20 people, and you're asked to speak to the media on behalf of that group. And just before you do, 3 or 4 of them say, "Oh, but don't say that, and don't say this, and I don't agree with that." And, you know, we see in both houses that neither leader has the kind of iron-fisted control over their caucus that Republicans do. And so the Republicans can get every member of their caucus in the House and all but three in the Senate to do stupid things, to, you know, act against their self-interest in the interest of party loyalty and party unity. But the Democrats don't have that, and Ben Nelson is the guy who right now continues to stand behind Harry Reid and kind of push his knee out, you know? Because whenever Reid stands up straight and says, we're going to pass this, you got people like Ben Nelson say, well, not with my vote. And unfortunately, Reid desperately needs Ben Nelson's vote. And so there is much more following than leading, and I addressed this a little earlier with Jason Leopold, that the Democrats continue to use the frames and language and concepts of the Republicans. And they need to throw that crap out the window of the tallest building on Capitol Hill and start with their own and say, well, nice idea, John Boehner. Why don't you go back to the bar, have another drink, and we'll pass this, and we'll let you know when we're done.
Do you think the Founding Fathers had any concept of what a colossal crop of failures this Congress would be, or could they? I'm sure they could not imagine it. Otherwise, they would have written many more things into the Constitution to keep Congress from simply relinquishing its responsibilities, and they would have probably made the chief executive of the presidency impotent to the point where this age wouldn't accept it. They probably would have had to rewrite the Constitution to have anything close to what we've had in,
well,
in a chief executive.
I guess when I look back at it, John, I think of the way the framers, you know, created the Senate as kind of a House of Lords. And, you know, we didn't have direct election to the Senate until early in the last century. And it remains a clubby body where, you know, the smallest states have the same power as the largest states. And so there are fundamental flaws in that structure. And so it's hard for me to divine how the Founding Fathers would feel about the current political scene, because some of the weaknesses are in there by the design of the Founding Fathers. And I'd like to see some of those changed. Thanks a lot for your call today, John. I always appreciate hearing from you. 888-5 Peter B. We got one more segment. You can be on the air if you call me next. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Monterey County on Forest Lodge Road at Ortega Road, we've got a traffic collision with no further details. And making our way to Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on the southbound one just north of Airport Boulevard. And weather, the Tri-County area is expecting a few showers this evening that will become a light, steady rain overnight. Lows will be in the lower 40s. Tomorrow we'll have rain showers in the morning that will evolve into a more steady rain in the afternoon with highs in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, expect more rain in the evening and some possible thunderstorms with lows dropping into the low 40s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an awesome evening, everybody, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
All aboard.
Virgil Kane is my name, and I drove on the Danville train till so much cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I took the train to Richmond that fell. It was a time I remember oh so well.
Joan Baez, and I was reminded of her by a comment last week from Michael, who called in when we were talking about stories about progressive landmarks and places around the country. And he referenced Bob Dylan trying to check into a hotel in the Monterey area and being told they had to stay in separate rooms. And over the weekend, I caught on satellite radio on XM Bob Dylan's radio show. And if you've never heard that, it's a little on the bizarre side because he has an unusual voice and he reads these scripts that I don't think reflect him in the best way possible. But the music that he plays and the information about it that he provides is just amazing. So if you get access to a sat radio and you have a chance, look for the Dylan channel and check out some of his shows. Here's Ron in San Francisco. Thanks for calling, Ron. You're on the PBC show.
Good afternoon, Peter. I was just thinking about some problems and solutions. I think the Obama administration is going to have some serious problems unless they really go after the Bush crime family. In 2006, the Democrats were placed in power because I believe the public wanted accountability. And Pelosi et al. Decided to do nothing about their problems, and the Democratic ratings were at in the same level that Bush's were. And so I think there's a lot of house cleaning that needs to happen in the Democratic Party, and I'm afraid to say that I think that Pelosi is complicit with a lot of the Bush crime family's actions in the last term at least.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ron, let me just offer one comment. Mike Malloy coined that term, Bush crime family, and it's clever, and I understand what it means. But when you talk that way, people who oppose investigations and accountability hear that as an insider calling for, a vindictive kind of witch hunt approach.
Well,
and so
I
would just...
That's because those people are either uneducated or they don't care.
Well,
Ron.
Okay, but my point is that when you use that language, it doesn't open up the minds of the people you hope to persuade.
Peter, I decided some time ago that you can't get through to all the people. It's not our goal to win everybody over. You need a critical mass. We've achieved a certain amount of power. We need to marginalize, shut these guys out, put them in the basement where they put the Democrats in 2002, and take charge. Take it take it away from them. They stole two elections.
Mm-hmm.
They run this country into the ground.
Yeah.
They started wars on fraud. For all we know, the death of the Wellstones, death of Pat Tillman. I mean, ask Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark said if Pat Tillman was deliberately killed because the special operations branch of the Rangers that he was in was controlled by the Secretary of Defense in the White House, that the orders would have had to come right out of the White House to kill Pat Tillman, a celebrity soldier.
And Ron, when you link Pat Tillman with Paul Wellstone and the Bush crime family, once again, you are packaging this in a way that will persuade no one. And you're welcome to your point of view, and I'm not arguing with you. Yes, there is a history of criminality in the Bush family. Yes, Prescott Bush did do business with the Nazis and covered it up. And yes, you know, Poppy Bush was a spook before he was head of the CIA. My whole point is,
in Dealey Plaza the day Jack Kennedy's killed, and he helped run the Bay of Pigs thing.
All right. And the only way we can crack the lid on these things is to avoid being characterized as conspiracy nuts. And that's my point, is if you package this in a different way, you will persuade more people. Thank you, Ron. And Dolores in Santa Cruz has a comment. Dolores, I've got less than a minute. Go ahead.
Hi. I really think that Nancy Pelosi is really afraid for her life, and that's why when she went in, she had said that no investigation, you know, for Bush, and because they knew her and I guess Feinstein had already been briefed on what had happened in Guantanamo. And so, but I really think that she's afraid for her life because she has grandchildren and she really needs to be aware of what she does.
Yeah. In fact, we talked with Glenn Greenwald about that whole concept earlier today, and I tend to agree with Glenn. I think we have a lack of political courage. I think we have people, including Nancy Pelosi, who are more interested in, amassing power than actually, you know, squaring us with constitutional rule, and that's how we get these situations. I am not ruling out. It's possible that the wiretaps have produced compromising information, and that's what limits the Democrats, but I think it's more fundamentally a lack of political courage. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails. Have you been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. An economic stimulus bill cleared the Senate today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
After more than a week of debate and against a mostly solid wall of Republican opposition, the Senate passed the measure to pour more than $800 billion into the economy to try to stop the downward spiral. Democratic Senator Max Baucus.
People are losing jobs by massive numbers. We got to do something. We got to do something big.
Three moderate Republicans joined in approving the measure, which provides a tax cut to middle-class families and spending that runs the gamut, from building roads to helping the unemployed pay for their health insurance. It now must be reconciled with the House stimulus bill. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Obama learned of the Senate's vote as he campaigned for economic stimulus at a forum in Fort Myers, Florida.
We got a little more work to do over the next couple of days, but it's a good start.
Within hours, his aides were meeting with key members of Congress trying to craft a compromise that can win approval in the House and the Senate and be on his desk by early next week. Despite $350 billion pumped into the banks, the credit system is still virtually frozen. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner outlined a new strategy today.
We believe this program should ultimately provide up to $1 trillion in financing capacity
but we plan to start it on a scale of about $500 billion, and we will expand it based on what works.
More from CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
The revised plan aims to help consumers. The Treasury and Federal Reserve agreed to commit up to $1 trillion to spark more lending of auto loans, student loans, and credit card debt. The country's biggest banks will be required to undergo a comprehensive stress test to determine their health. And the government will move to stabilize the banks by buying up to $1 trillion worth of toxic assets and moving them into a kind of bad bank. The purchases would be financed by a partnership of public and private money, which the government said is still being worked out.
That leaves question marks. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the uncertainty sent stocks sharply lower.
The plan was simply short on details. It reads more like a proposal, and there was nothing real there for investors to sink their teeth into.
The Dow dropped nearly 400 points to 7888, its lowest close since November. The Nasdaq